Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Elodia with Fair Hope Living Magazine, and we are here with our first episode of Food for Thought. I'm really excited this morning. I'm here with Sean Graham and Clarice Hall Black, and we're going to be talking about the District 8 zoning that is a really hot topic right now in the area. So Sean is a native Fairhoper, fifth generation, as is Clarice, right?
Yes.
Awesome. So, Sean, if you'll tell us a little bit about yourself, I believe you're the executive director of the Hope community.
Yeah, so I get a chance to facilitate and lead a group of us local Fairhopians here to gather the community together. You know, it all started and was birthed out of just a lot of the challenges that happened in 2016. We didn't know who we are. We let the national narrative kind of determine who we were locally, and people locally got fed up with it, right? And just decided to, let's come together, let's meet for coffee, let's meet for dinner, let's get to know each other first. And then out of that, we got involved with the community and really led the community when different things that are at risk or weaknesses or concerns or areas that people are just uneducated about. And that's where Hope Community comes into the folds with.
Okay. Now, Clarice, you are you moved away for a while and you were in the military. But you came back and you got involved in the community, and you're now on the Planning and Zoning Board.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you really are the one that spearheaded this zoning of District 8. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself and what drives you to make this transition happen.
So originally I am from here. I joined the military and went away for 20 years, came back, retired to raise my family.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Anytime, do it again. Right. And so we got back here, and I happened to meet Karen Wilson, and she had just become mayor, and we were talking, and she gave me this opportunity to be on the planning commission, and so I was like, okay, I'll do it. And that's where I started to really learn about the things that were happening in the community. And so Sean, he is my cousin, and so his mom was telling me about the Hope community. And so I went to a couple of their meetings, and then from there, it kind of got, I guess, the wheels turning, and everything kind of just culminated from there. And when I was approached by Matthew Brown at the county, he was doing, I think it was District 19 at the time, and so I sat in on that. I didn't have an opinion. I just sat in on it. And once I kind of learned what was going on from different aspects, and I kind of mirrored that to what the city of Fairhope does up against their planning also, I was like, I think this needs to happen, because so many people were coming to the Fairhope planning meetings complaining about things in the county. Right. They didn't realize they were in the county. So it was just a bunch of miscommunication that was out there. And so I was like, hey, we need to do this. And so it just kind of went from there.
Exactly. Well, and if you look at the zoning maps, it's really interesting, the little different pockets that exist.
Yes.
And, you know, why those exist. And that's the whole point of this show, is we want to look at the different perspectives and all sides of a particular issue. So both of you are obviously for zoning, but what does zoning actually mean? I mean, what is this? What do the residents really need to know about this? I mean, why do you feel so strongly that these areas that aren't zoned right now, that they need to be?
For me, it was sitting in those planning meetings and listening to the individuals not happy about what was actually happening around them. They didn't feel like they had a voice. And so the more and more I kind of read up on it and I asked questions about it, you know, it seemed like this was the best option in order for you to have a voice, because everybody's like, well, you're in the county, you're unzoned, anything can go, anything can happen. It's like living in the Wild Wild West. And that has been like the coin phrase for the area. And so it's like, well, how do we combat that? And they're like, well, you can be zoned, and if you're zoned, you can have this facets of items that are open to you. And so upon reading them, and like I said, sitting on District 19 and kind of understanding, I just felt like, well, maybe this is what we need to do. And especially with the development that was happening within the city limits, they don't really have a lot of room to grow, but the developers are taking advantage of the county where there's options for them to grow. And so I just was like, we need to, it's like we're being closed in on from both angles. So let's kind of figure out how we can push back a bit. Right. And so I felt like zoning was the option for us to take. Smart zoning is what we need. So that's basically.
Now, Sean, you came into play the first time I really sat down and talked with you was after District 19 was already zoned. And that was a really hot, upsetting and hot topic at the time because a lot of the people felt like they were left out of the know. They had no idea that District 19 was going to be coming up for a vote. And it was really put, they felt like it was pushed through without their knowledge.
Right.
So you tried to facilitate some communications. And that's really your goal with the Hope community, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we're about. So like I said earlier, the national narrative, what people pay attention to on social media or Facebook tends to not be what's happening on the ground level locally, right? So what Hope Community did and what we do is really spark conversation, dialogue, and education really around what's happening locally. And so it's hard to pull people in who aren't really paying attention to what's going on locally. And what we were able to do is talk to city leaders and county leaders, members of Hope Community, and just say, hey, listen, we got a lot of people that are uneducated about, including ourselves at the time, and some of us, uneducated fully about what's going on around us. We just know that we don't like that there's something that sprung up right next to us and we didn't have any say, and maybe it doesn't look or appeal to the way our home or residence or our business or whatever we have going on, right? So we believe in life, it's not what happens to you, it's what how you respond to it. And what we're just trying to do is give people a platform to make decisions and take control of their futures.
Yes,
absolutely. So I did have an opportunity to go out and talk with some of the people that are out in the Twin Beach area, which is primarily where District 8 will be. And I spoke with Pam Williams, and I've got a short interview with her just to get her perspective on the zoning vote that's going to be coming up. Pam, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Pamela Williams. I am originally from Illinois. My family moved here in actually Point Clear, Alabama when I was a baby. And so we grew up here in Point Clear. Then when I met my husband, I moved to Fairhope. Worked for several years at the hospital. And then about 2015, I prayed about, you know, wanting to start my own business, and the Lord allowed me to open up my business, Uniquely Yours, One Stop Beauty Supply Store. It's a, you know, hair store, which I sell a little bit of everything in it. So, but I've been in the community for a while. I've been on the board at Fairhope Rotary Youth Club. And I was also on the board with, again, Fairhope Unite, and just, you know, trying to do stuff out in the community, and that's basically it.
Well, Pam, so your business is located off Twin Beach Road, and it is called Uniquely Yours. And I noticed, you know, when I was pulling up that you had a support the vote for District 8, right? You had that sign out.
I do.
So that's exactly what we want to talk about, is just to get Pam's perspective on the zoning opportunity that is presented as itself. So, Pam, why would you be supportive of there being zoning in this particular area?
Well, I'm supportive because we live in this community and we are in the county, and you know, you would think that by us being in the county, we should be able to vote or have a say-so, but we have no say-so. We have nothing. So I'm supportive because I want to be able to, you know, say what goes on in my community, or do I want this and do I want that, instead of other people making the decision for us. So I'm very supportive of it because I want a voice in my own community about, you know, what goes on in our community. So that's why I'm supportive of, you know, District 8, and prayerfully other people would jump on board to where they would want to know what's going on in their community and have a voice. You know, we shouldn't be silenced, or we shouldn't be voiceless when you live in a community and other people are making decisions. You can't say anything.
That's right. So, Pam, as you had questions about whether or not you should be supportive of the zoning, did you go to the county to get your questions answered, or was there a person locally that you talked to find out more about?
I talked to one of them was my cousin, Vicki Graham, and my cousin, Paula. I talked with them because they are very into the District 8, and so they had came and it, you know, brought me the paper and explained it to me, which actually went, even when they came to me and told me that even though we're in the county, you know, we still don't have a voice, I really never knew that. You know, I thought we could, you know, even though I every now and then I would go to some of the town meetings and stuff when I was, you know, when my organization was really up and functioning and all that. But I knew we didn't have a voice when it came to being in the city limits, but I did not know that we didn't have a voice, even though we live in the county, but we still can, you know, can vote. So when they came explaining it to me, it just opened up a lot more.
Right, exactly. Because if you're in an area of the county that's not zoned, then any industry can come in and can build. So,
and we don't have a say-so.
That's right. So is there anything you would like to share with our listeners? We reach everybody from Fairhope all the way up the Eastern Shore.
The only thing I would really like to share is for you know, the people in our community come together and vote for District 8 so you can have a voice in what goes on in your community. And I feel that it's time out for being silenced. You know, it's time for us to open up our, you know, open up our mouths and voice our opinion about what goes on in our community. And I would talk, you know, say to my community, jump on board, be a part of what's going on with District 8 so we can have a voice and so we can say what comes in and, you know, and what goes out.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Pam. I appreciate you talking with us today.
So that was Pam Williams, and Sean and Clarice, I think she did a great job of demonstrating. You know, she really didn't know anything about zoning before she talked with Vicki, and it took her, you know, being educated, which is exactly what the Hope community and Clarice, what you have started is getting out and one-on-one educating the people in the community, because a lot of times we are so busy and we are so distracted. We do tend to get in on our social media and we scroll and scroll and scroll, but that doesn't really have anything to do with what's happening here today right now. So if the zoning is passed, what will happen with District 8?
So if it's passed, it'll there'll be a meeting set up, and it will encompass, I think it's five citizens from the community that are randomly picked. You can submit your name and information, and the I think it's the judge of probate actually picks who will be on that board, and then you will sit down with the planning and zoning commission out of Robertsdale. They will, the Baldwin County Planning Commission, and they will actually come up with they'll give you the plot of the area that we have, which would be District 8 that that the people voted on, and we will then come up with the property. It's open to the public, so people can come in and say, I want my property zoned as this, or I don't want anything on my property. You know, I don't want to label it at this point in time. You know, you get to make your decisions at that time. If it's a parcel of land and it's currently a single family residential or has multiple homes on it, you know, we just kind of just go through and annotate what it is. But at that, that's the time where all of that is done. If they want to put certain areas in the, they have a historical district on there, you can put parcels under that. And so it's just a time, I feel like, where people can get involved and kind of say what's truly going, you know, on, so that it can be the vision can be there to start the progress, the steps forward, and that's what we need, is a foundation to start on, because right now we have none of that at all.
So that kind of leads into, you were both actually on the steering committee for the long-term plan for the city of Fairhope.
Yes.
How do the two of those work together? I know clearly you guys do not want to be annexed into the city, but how does District 8 and the long-term plan for Fairhope work together?
I mean, I would say anything that is adjacent to our city of Fairhope is important. Right. So Fairhope is a very fast growing city. It is part of one of the fastest growing metropolitan cities in the country when you put it alongside of Daphne and Spanish Fort. And what that means is, you know, there's a lot happening, and we want to make sure that, you know, what's happening near us may not be us exactly, but it has an impact.
right?
Yeah.
On everything that's around. So because of that, you know, we see it to this day when it's unzoned county. You know, there's no rules. There's limited, I should say. There's very limited rules and regulation for what people from the outside could do in your area, on surrounding areas. Fairhope is a city that's set up really well. And if we're going to be if the people, I should say, are going to be unzoned, then they don't have anything to complain about. Whatever happens, it's happening to you. You just decide that I'm just going to sit back and just complain. But at that point, it's too late. So yeah. Here's an opportunity to cast a vote and it make a significant difference in your life and the lives of future generations and your children and grandchildren and cousins and things like that. And aunts and uncles. So we just wanted to have that opportunity with the steering committee to understand where the city of Fairhope wants to go. And the city of Fairhope would love to grow its city line and city limits as well. So with that, we just wanted those citizens to be a part of the equation, and we try to filter and disseminate a lot of that information to the rest of the Fairhope South and unzoned parts.
That sounds like really you just want people to be able to have a voice.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And I can say, you know, this does feel like one of the one times when you get out and vote that you know for certain that your vote actually counts.
It actually
yes,
does, right?
Exactly. And especially with the city of Fairhope currently doing their comprehensive plan, and I can't remember what day, but you can go online and there's a survey now mm-hmm. where the county is doing something also. And so it's just a matter of the city and the county coming together to build something that will help all of Baldwin County, basically.
Right.
And, you know, the cities, each one of the municipalities, they have their own vision and their own regulations and standards, but it only goes so far because you can only have certain things within the city limits. And then you have people that are on the outside that have a different way of living than people in the city. So there has to be some kind of way where when one stops, the other one picks up to help those people out on the outskirts and the fringes of town. And that's really what it is. At some point, it's not about you as a person that's in office. You were put in those positions, you were voted into those positions to help the people. But it seems to be a what I want versus what we need or what they need. And so that's another reason why we want the voice to be out there. And it's got to be a way for these people to come together. And if not, then we need to put some different people in office so that we can come together. And that's just, you know, that's how I feel because I'm adamant about change. You know, mm-hmm. I've been gone for 20 years and I come back and it's still the same. Well, not. It's growing. But some of the mentalities are still the same.
Right, exactly. And I know there are some great examples in other places. And Sean, you referenced, we were chatting over coffee a couple weeks ago. You referenced a town, I believe, in the Birmingham area.
Yes.
That was, you know, where they honored the history of that particular neighborhood as it was growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very diverse. And you could tell that it was very inclusive. And I think that's something that you're trying to bring to the vision of the long-term plan for Fairhope in Houstonville area
as
well. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, so this community is in Hoover, Alabama. It's called Rossbridge. They have a hotel set up, resort restaurants, little stores and mm-hmm. convenience stores owned by local businesses, privately owned institutions, not big boxes per se at all, right? So, but then there's a diversity of homes. There's condominiums, there's apartments. There's large homes, you know, upwards of $1 million or more, but it's everyone in the same community. And the history of that area, of what it meant to that area as well, is still being preserved. It's named after the founding family who started and owned the land there. And it was a big part of the 1860s and war and what soldiers did at that time. So a lot of that is preserved. And I feel like strongly that we could certainly do
yes.
that for Houstonville and it be more of an inclusive and a mm-hmm. partnership with the community, right? Because that's generations of, you know, unquantifiable wealth, right? Not just monetarily speaking, but when you have had something passed down from five different family members, you don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
You don't want to be the family member that gives that up. So at the end of the day, we want to provide everybody with that equal opportunity to just have equitable justice, yes, as it relates to their land and property.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming on today. I know y'all have another meeting to get to. But
Elodia, I have a question, if I may.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since
go right
you do
ahead.
Have a bit of time left, sure. I had never heard of the area called Houstonville until I was on Zillow looking at houses for sale in Fairhope. What is Houstonville? Where is Houstonville? And what's the history? I presume a Houston family, as you've been referring to generations?
Well, Lori, I will say in the February issue of Fairhope Living Magazine, there will be an article about that. But Sean and Clarice are actually both descendants of Mr. Houston. You want to fill us in?
Why don't you take that?
So if you go to the Fairhope Museum, Mike Houston is actually there, and he is my great-great-grandfather, and there are Houstons that currently are still in the area. Some of them have moved away, but it's a lot of us. And so he basically, his mother was Jane Stevenson, and she came down from, I think it was Virginia, and she was brought down. She lived a little bit in Stapleton, but he was kind of mentored by a family out of Mobile, the Festerazzi. I can't really remember their name, but he was kind of mentored by that gentleman. I believe he was Italian, and he owned a cafe in Mobile, and he also had property down on the bayfront. And so he was his caretaker for a while, and he was able to save his money and buy parcels of land. So he owned a large amount of the land that is on Twin Beach Road. And I have gone back and dug up the deeds and all that kind of stuff. And so if you go down Twin Beach Road, there is a, on both ends of Twin Beach, there are two streets that are Houston. But he did a lot for his family in that area. And that's really basically it. His home was in that area, and he was just a businessman working to make a living. And that's one of the other reasons why, you know, there's other families that are there. All the street signs have their names.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just at that time when African Americans could have nothing and they were able to get land, that was one of the things that they wanted to hold on and cherish. And so that is why it's so instrumental and so important for us to hold on to what we have. And that area is what we have to keep our lineage going, you know.
Yes, very interesting. And when is the special referendum on this vote? When and where?
Good question.
It is Mars Hill Church. It is on 98 on February the 15th. And if you are a registered voter in the district, which I think there were like 1,753 registered voters, you will get a notice in the mail at the address that is on file in that district, and you will be allowed to vote.
Okay, and then we also have another district going through a very similar process.
Yes.
I believe it's District 37.
Yes.
Is correct. That vote on the same day?
Yes, and then also there's one in Seminole, I believe, and they're all on the same day. The county wanted to do them all on the same day, so
February
there's no
15th.
Confusion. Yes, February the 15th.
The regular 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. polling.
Yes, and I think the one for 37 is at Three Circles Church on 104. Yep.
Okay.
To add to that, because I get questions from friends and people in passing, am I in District 8? Am I in unzoned? Am I in the city limits of Fairhope?
How do we know? Right.
Yeah. How do I know? Right. So you could go to the county website and you can look at what's zoned and what's unzoned. Obviously, through Hope Community Group and other leaders within our group, we can provide you with that information. Mm-hmm. I know the cities and the counties have been very instrumental in getting the word out as far as where people are, but it's a fair question. And if you don't know, I tell you, this is the time to really figure that out, because there's an opportunity at large for everyone who to decide to start their own district or not.
Yes.
So do we have contact information or Facebook page, phone numbers, anything you want to provide for citizens who've now had their interest piqued and want to learn more?
There is a Facebook page, and it is proposed District 8. District 37 has one also. They actually have two. It's proposed District 37. They also have Save Lawrence Road. And I'm not sure about Seminole, but I've been pointing people to either post questions on those two pages. We'll get the answers, or they can contact the county to get, if you know, information if they don't feel like what we're giving them is exactly what they want to know.
Excellent.
Very good.
And Sean, what about the Hope Community? If someone wants to get involved with that, how would they best go about reaching you?
So Hope Community is a little bit different. So we try to stay away from technology. We try to stay away from social media and websites and all of that. It's a very traditional way. So it's personal. It's close. It's yes, you know, word of mouth. But we do have a Facebook page, the Hope Community Group, in Fairhope. So if you can go on your Facebook and request friendship with us, and we can connect with you. You can get up to date on everything that's going on in your community.
All right. Well, thank you both again for coming on today. It was a real treat.
Thank you.
And we'll talk with you again soon.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. So food for thought. Next week, we will be talking with Abe Harper and talking a little bit more about why an area is ideal if it is unzoned.
Very good. Thank you, Elodia Arnold with Fairhope Living Magazine and Food for Thought. This program will be posted later today to listen to online if you missed it at WABF1480.com. Now resuming regular programming.